Well, we're thankful to be here this morning. Another opportunity to look into the Word of God. We desire prayer. The Lord would bless. Thankful for all the Lord does. For His faithfulness to hear and answer prayer, to supply the needs of His people. The Bible says He allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. He's a good God, isn't He? He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that truly cares about His creation. And we're thankful for that. I'd like to speak this morning about a little bit about personal responsibility. It's one thing for the Lord to save us. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord saves us, but when He does that, we have some responsibility. We have a lot of responsibility. We are very responsible to Him and should be very thankful for what He's done. We're also very responsible to one another as the church, and we're also responsible to those that are out in the world. We have a personal responsibility. It's important how we live our life and how we walk before the Lord. Because when we fail to do that, we can very easily bring a reproach upon the truth. For what we claim to be the truth, for what we claim to be that which is right, we can bring a reproach upon that if we're not faithful to our own personal responsibility. I have to be faithful in my little sphere of where I live, places I go, people I know and those things. I've got to be faithful. But I can't be faithful for you. You can't be faithful for me. We all have a personal responsibility. That's something that in this day and age people don't seem to want to take, is responsibility for actions. They don't seem to want to take the responsibility for what they do or what they say or how they handle themselves in situations of life. But I believe you and I, as the children of God, are to be responsible and conduct ourselves in such a way. I want to read some definition here. Able to be trusted to do what is right, or to do the things that are expected or required. If I'm going to do what is expected and required, that must mean that I'm willing to do what God gives me, either at home or across the pulpit. If it's under the auspice of the Holy Spirit. If there's anointing there and God is speaking to my heart, it means that I'm expected or required to do what the Word of God tells me to do. Every one of us. It means, definition, able to choose for yourself between right and wrong. You're not going to have anybody follow you around and tell you, well, you need to do that because that's the right thing to do. You shouldn't do that. That's the wrong thing to do. You have a personal responsibility to do those things. And keep the proper conduct in your own lives. Because God is always watching, and more than likely, unless you're home and closed up and no one's in there but you, there's somebody else watching too. People watch us. No man's an island. Every one of us are being observed. If we have wives, if we have companions, husbands, whatever, or children, they are watching our conduct. They are observing us. And, you know, if we're living with them, it really brings it close to home, because if the conduct isn't what it ought to be and they hear us go to prayer and pray, they're going to be scratching their heads and wondering why we're praying one thing and acting another. Well, folks, I'm not here to throw stones at nobody. My burden is for the church. Not just here, but for the church. But my burden also is for you. We have a responsibility for the conduct, the way that we carry ourselves, our attitudes, our actions, and our words. We have responsibility to that. And another definition is accountability, trustworthy, answering for your conduct. You know, there's a lot of people today that do bad things, and then they say they're sorry. Quite a few of them are sorry they got caught, not because they did a bad thing. Folks, you and I must live in such a way that our connection with God is clear, that we're able to get a hold of Him in any time of trouble, in any time of need, that we're able to reach that throne of grace, and that He will send power down and work and effectually in the prayers and the lives that we live. That's what we want to see happen, isn't it? I'd like to turn to Matthew, Jesus beginning the Beatitudes here, and I would like to begin at the 13th verse of the 5th chapter of Matthew. And trust I won't belabor this too long. Have some things feel like the Lord would have us to impart here. The Lord said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I read some history about a man that was over in the old country, trotting around Jerusalem, and he found a vein of salt alongside of the road. And at top of the vein of salt, it was black, marred, wasn't very pretty. And it said he went over and he broke off a piece of salt. And he looked at that salt and he put his tongue to it and had no flavor at all. It lost all of its flavor. But the underside of the piece that he broke off that had been connected to the vein underneath, it still had salt. It still had its savor. It still tasted salty. But what was exposed to the rain, to the wind, to the atmosphere, and to all those, the outside world, that lost its savor. And that's where you and I have to be very careful. Because we deal with the world, we deal with life, and we gotta be very careful that we don't lose our saltness. Because saltness is very important. And I hope we'll see that maybe a little more before I'm finished. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Only those that have been born by the blood of Jesus can be salt to this earth. Only those that He has put His Spirit in, only those that He is living in and dwelling in can be the salt. "Ye are," He said, "the salt of the earth." And only you can help meet the needs that are in the world today. We all agree there's a lot of needs in our world today. Folks, the world needs you. He needs you. The world needs you. With all the terrible things that are going on and sin abounding everywhere, the world needs some salt. The world, and God is looking for vessels of His people that He can count on to do His will and to be faithful in whatever it is that He permits or allows to come their way. Because if we're not faithful, once again I'm going to say, we can bring a reproach upon the very cause of God or the very work of the Lord if we're not faithful. Is it important when we get afflicted, for instance? Is it important that we trust God? Yes, it's important. It's what we teach. It's what the Bible teaches, that we are to trust God. Soul, mind, body, and spirit. He heals the whole man, doesn't He? His creation, you and I, mankind, the greatest part of His creation, and He is very mindful of the needs that you and I have. And if He can say to the waters, part the waters and let them go across in dry land, folks, He can do anything for you and I. We need to believe that. Personal responsibility. I can't have faith for you, and you can't have faith for me. We've got to have our faith, folks, rooted and grounded in the love of God. Faith worketh by love, doesn't it? The Bible says. Personal responsibility. What does salt do? Well, you got it sitting on your table at home, probably. Salt adds flavoring, doesn't it? It makes the food taste good. I like salt. I like to put salt on my food. I don't want to eat a baked potato if I don't have salt. I got to have something to give it a little bit of flavor. I don't want to eat a tomato unless I have a little salt to put on. I like salt. Salt adds flavoring. It acts as a preservative, doesn't it? I saw my mother and my father when I was growing up living on the farm. They butchered a hog and took it out, the meat out into the smokehouse, and I stood there and watched them. They laid it on the table and they started pouring salt on it to cure it. It cured the hams and the meat that they had just butchered so it wouldn't putrefy and it wouldn't spoil. And the salt kept it from spoiling. So salt acts as a preservative. You and I are acting as a preservative. Now, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. So we are to act as a preservative, and I'll carry that on a little bit. Salt also does something else. It melts coldness. We live in a cold world, don't we? We live in a cold-hearted world today. People are all out for themselves, all out to get what they want, what they need, and very little attention is paid to their fellow man today. Salt melts coldness. Those that may come in among you and I, or those that you may be dealing with on the job, in the business, whatever it may be, and those that are kind of cold towards you, salt will melt that. We have a personal responsibility, folks, to do what we can to win souls for Christ. That's what we're here for. Paul speaks about us being ambassadors. Before we can be good ambassadors for Christ, we got to have some salt. It melts coldness and it heals wounds. It'll heal wounds. You put salt on a wound, it'll heal it. It'll clear it up eventually if you put salt on it. You see what I'm saying about Jesus is saying here, you are the salt of the earth. It adds flavoring, acts as a preservative, melts coldness, and it heals wounds. Well, that sounds like a good recipe for each and every one of us to have on hand when we go out into this old dark world among our fellow men, that we know how to conduct ourselves, personal responsibility. The Lord's looking down all the time. It means that we have an integrity that we're doing what we know we're supposed to do because the world needs you. Did you know the world needs you? The world really needs us, folks. And this is our relationship. To have these things on hand, this is our relationship to the world that we live in today. That we might be a preservative. By the lives that we live, not necessarily your mouth. It's okay to have a good testimony as long as you have a life to back it up. That's good. To have a good, strong testimony, as long as the next time you get in the heat of the battle, your life is going to back it up. The next time things, when the clouds come and the darkness hovers over you and you can't see through the clouds, it's okay to have a strong testimony as long as you have a life that's going to back it up. As long as you're going to have the example. We have a personal responsibility there, folks. Not only the world, but those that are in our congregation, those that are in the church, are looking upon us. Heard of a issue not all that long ago about young families that are out working with other people, not even having their own home in order, not even having their own children in proper conduct, and yet they're out trying to help other people. This is what I'm talking about, personal responsibility. In order for you and I to be successful out there in the world that we live in, we've got to get things straight at home, don't we? We got to get it right at home. If we can't live it right at home, how do we expect to go out and win souls? Because when we go out, we're not going to give them the proper conduct. We're not going to be the preservative that we ought to be. We're not going to be able to melt the coldness of their hearts if we don't have it right at home. Lord, help us to get it right at home. I believe that by our lives and the instructions or the counsel that we can give souls, that we can help keep the world from entire moral corruption. Yes, there's a lot of corruption. Starts right at our government and right on down. But you and I, by the lives that we live, being salt, and by the counsel that we can give, godly counsel, we can keep the world from entire moral corruption. And I have an example for you. By bringing down, by our prayers, the blessings of God, and by our influence and examples that we need to be and ought to be before our fellow man, we can save the world from universal destruction until the Lord comes. And I have an example for you. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, I'm going to destroy those two cities because of the moral corruption. And yet Abraham stood in the gap, didn't he? He went before the Lord and he prayed and he asked God, he said, if you can find 50 righteous men, will you spare them? God said, I'll spare them. How many righteous men do we have today? How many are willing to consecrate, put their lives or themselves on the altar of sacrifice and give it all to the Lord and be for the sake of others? For the sake of others. Oh, God said, I'll spare it for 50, but he couldn't find 50. So he went all the way down to, was it 10? 10 righteous people. God said, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah if I can find 10. And there wasn't 10. Lord, help us today. We have a personal responsibility. If you close your eyes and you think of eternity, and you think of souls going out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Folks, that ought to lay a burden on our hearts. That ought to help us to understand and realize God is expecting some things for you and I. Because the Bible says plainly, it isn't His will that any should be lost. But folks, if I'm not where God wants me to be, and God's placed me in someone's life, and I'm not the blessing to them that I ought to be, part of that responsibility is on me. Because God wants to use every one of us to be a blessing to someone else. Responsible. Oh, it means something to stand up, be a man and a woman, and be responsible for your actions. To be responsible for who you say you are. You say, I'm a child of God. We're children of God. It means something to say that. Jesus tells us here, you're the salt of the earth. They say that over there in Jerusalem in that day, whenever they got, when the salt lost its savor, it wasn't good for anything else. They crushed it up and they put it in the pathways, just like we do stone today, for people to walk on, stay out of the mud. That's all it was good for. Just throw it down on the ground and let people walk on it because there was no saltness in it. We need to have saltness. We need to have salt in ourselves, folks. Because if we lose this influence of salt, we can no longer be effective for what God wants to use us for. We can no longer be effective for what God wants to use us for. I'm going to come back to this, but I want to move over here and look at another scripture first. In Mark, the 9th chapter. Says it a little differently over here. In Mark 9, Jesus is still speaking here. For everyone, he's talking about the offenses up there. And if you're offended and if you're hurt and you got all this and you got all of that, pluck it out, throw it away, because it's not going to benefit you. You're not going to have the saltness that you need when you're put under pressure and when you're put out there to be a blessing or a help to others. But Jesus said, verse 49, everyone shall be salted with fire. Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Have you ever considered that your life is a sacrifice to God? We are sacrifices to God. We put our all on the altar, the song says, of sacrifice. We've laid it there. And we're sacrifices to God. Everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Jesus said that. That's two different places now that Jesus says we're the salt of the earth. And we must be salted with salt. Back in Moses' day, I won't turn to it, but I'll give you the scripture in Leviticus 2 and 13. When God was telling them how to prepare the sacrifice, they put salt on the sacrifice. Tells them right there in the Leviticus priesthood. They put salt on the sacrifice, so we as God's people are offered up a sacrifice to God by our trials, by our tests, by the calamities or the things that we have to face and deal with in life, by our hardships, by our troubles, by the things we don't know, the things we don't understand, when it comes right down to faith, trusting in God. For Him to lead us and guide us. We sing so many songs in our book, folks. God's way is best. We even raise our hand to a lot of that. We believe God's way is best. Lord, help us today. We've got to be salt because we're a sacrifice that is going to be tested by what? By fire. Sometimes it gets pretty hot, doesn't it? Brother said to me out there one day, he said, you know, he said, every time I've been sick or I've been afflicted, he said, I get to the place where I say, Lord, I can't take any more of this. And he said, the Lord always comes along and has mercy. See, the Lord knows what you can handle. You say you can't take any more. The Lord knows how much you can take. Sometimes it gets pretty hard and it gets pretty rough. I know I've been there. Some of you have too. It gets pretty difficult. But we're a sacrifice to God. And our sufferings that we suffer for God, folks, must be salted with fire and with salt. We must have salt among ourselves. Everything in life, think about it. All the problems, all the troubles. I listened to the congregation that I've been with the last two Sundays and I hear all the burdens and all the needs. Folks, people are walking around with some serious issues in their life. Some serious problems, serious afflictions, serious troubles, family issues. People are carrying some heavy burdens today. Sometimes I wonder how they can continuously do that day after day. But God give them grace and strength. Everything is calculated to give offense to us or dishonor Christ. Everything that is, let me start that over. That is calculated to give an offense to you or dishonor Christ in your life must be removed. Must be put on the altar of sacrifice and must be removed. Everything or anything that would endanger our salvation must be sacrificed. Is your salvation in danger? Well, it's in your hands. Jesus is able to keep us. The Holy Spirit will give us power, but it's still in your hands. You can walk away from it all if you choose to because we're creatures of choice. Everything that would endanger our salvation, folks, must be put on the altar of sacrifice. You and I must do some things to be the salt of the earth. This fire burns. Burning hurts the flesh, doesn't it? It stings pretty bad. We must practice self-denials. And I wonder sometimes how much we're really doing that today. Denying self. But we've got to deny self in order to retain the saltness and obtain eternal life. You see, we're doing two things here. We're to be the salt of the earth in our conduct, in our life. We're to have saltness within us. And yet we're also endeavoring to obtain eternal life. That will help us to do both, if we'll have it in ourselves. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Sacrifices, trials. We're loaded with those things today, aren't we? We're loaded with those things today. It's life. We know we're living when we're going through hardships and difficulties, but it's more than that. God designs everything for the benefit of my spiritual soul, to help me to see Larry, to see myself, where I am, where I'm weak at, maybe where I'm strong, maybe where I need to temper, maybe where I need to bring it in balance. God does all that for us. And He works with us because He loves us. It's all done to keep ourselves from the gratification of the flesh, because the flesh sure wants to be satisfied. It surely wants to be satisfied, folks. We're all offerings to God. We've got to subdue lust. We've got to endure trials. We've got to get rid of offenses. Folks, there's still people today dealing with unforgiveness. There's still people today not willing to let things go. There's still people today that are holding something on someone else. And all they're doing is putting themselves in a prison house. You and I can't hold somebody. You can hold them, but it'll put you in prison. That doesn't mean God's holding them. You know, there's been people, and this is the truth. There's been people that's been holding people, and that person has asked forgiveness, and they've asked God for forgiveness, and God turned them loose a long time ago, and they're still holding them. That's sad, isn't it? Sometimes we want to hold on to our past. Sometimes we want to hold on to the things that happened in our past. We don't want to let it go. Sometimes maybe we can conjure that up and use that to make us feel good of what we're dealing with today. But I want to tell you here this morning that God is able to deliver you from whatever happened in your past. He's able to give you victory to conquer the past and give you grace to go forward. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Conquer, folks, conquer. Sometimes it seems to me that we're just not learning that God has some power here. And we need to tap that power, that we can have total and complete victory in our own life, in our own walk with the Lord, and get the grace that we need to conquer that thing and not let that be an issue for me anymore. You believe God can do that? I believe God can do it. We've got to destroy pride. We've got to destroy ambition, contentions. Let them not be named among you, the scripture says. If we're going to be an acceptable offering, salted with fire. Folks, there's depths that you and I haven't hit yet. There's things about God and graces that God has that you and I haven't tapped in. I believe that. I'm not unsaving no one here. I appreciate everyone. and what God is doing with you. This is the way I see this sovereign God that we serve today. I see Him as so deep and so full and so magnified and so lifted up and so exalted and so wise and so understanding that I haven't. Well, let's look at it this way. Do you know a lot? Most of us know quite a bit. Do you know what you don't know is even more than what you know? What you don't know is even more than what you know. And I've looked at my wife from time to time and said, you know, I just don't feel like I know anything sometimes. And I know a little bit. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the dullest knife in the drawer. But just think about God, what you don't know. What He has for you. What He wants to give for you, to you. Scripture tells us He wants to give it to us. So how do we get it? Well, we make ourselves a sacrifice. And we put a little salt on it. And the fire comes along and begins to consume the sacrifice, just like it did back in Moses' time when he told him to put salt on the sacrifice. You will be salted with fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. We have a personal responsibility, folks. I can't measure up for you. You can't measure up for me. I can't reach the depths the Lord wants to take you for you. You're going to have to get there yourself. You're going to have to work on it yourself. These things, I believe, that I've mentioned and more, are the proper preservatives in our service to the Lord. And we need to have some preservatives, something that will break down the coolness that's in our world, the wickedness that's in our world, something that will help preserve, that when maybe the Lord says, I'm going to destroy, about ready to say, son, go down and call my children home. I've seen enough of it. Maybe if there's enough of us praying, maybe if there's enough of us living a righteous and a holy life, God will let it linger a little longer. Maybe a few more will be saved before this world goes into judgment. Maybe. Abraham tried. He started out with 50. He came back to him, what was it, 45 or 40? And then he gave him another figure and he went all the way down to 10. Lord, if there's 10, will you spare it? I don't want to see my loved ones lost, and I don't want to see your loved ones lost either. I don't want to see anyone lost. Lord, have mercy on us. Let's go back to Matthew now. Talk about something else for a minute. He went on to say, ye are. I believe Evan's Sunday school verse this morning is part of my little message. But the Lord said, you are. Not him. Well, don't get busy looking at everybody else. You are. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The very essential of our mission, of our walk with the Lord, of living a holy and a godly life, is to be a light to this world that we are living in. That's our mission. That's the purpose that God has for us, to be a light for this world, to shine forth in the darkness of human depravity. Oh, folks, there are so many things that are happening in our world today. People are doing things that bring nausea to me sometimes when I hear about them. Just treating other people something awful, something terrible. Lord, help you and I. Once we get the preservative working in our own life to shine forth into the darkness of this world, you and I are to be examples of what God is requiring of man. Examples. Well, I tell you, it's a lot what's the old saying? It's a lot easier said than done. It's a lot easier said than done. Because when we say it, the devil, he hears that too. And he comes along and says, we'll see. We'll see. Wait till the next time the pressure builds up and you're tired and you're weary. And let's see what your conduct is now. Let's see how you handle yourself now. We'll see. Lord, help us today. Don't ever get yourself so lifted up or so exalted in yourself that you think you can handle this. Because we can't handle this without the Lord. But he said, you are the light of the world. Our light is to shine throughout the world. Jerusalem was up on a mountain, wasn't it? It was way up there on a hill. When those lights shined, the world could see Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. Letting our light shine includes some things. It includes government, governing our attitudes and all of our conduct. Our actions and how we handle ourselves, they're not hid. It includes living holy, harmless. Didn't he say be harmless? As doves. Being harmless and undefiled. Don't let your conscience become defiled, folks. That's what's happened in our world today. The conscience is defiled. People are running rampant to do whatever it is that comes in their mind because they're like it was in the days of the judges. When they had no king, they did that which was right in their own eyes. That's where people are today. They don't have no king. They don't know Jesus. And they're doing what they want to do, what the enemy puts in their hearts and minds to do. Then he went on to say, let your light so shine before men. Now that makes it a little tougher. Those that we come in contact with. Let your pure conversation and your faithful counsel be seen and known in all societies, in all business, at home and abroad, in prosperity and in adversity. It's hard to do in adversity, folks. It's hard to do. But he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are known as the children of the King, Jesus. We're his children. We're his people. But we have a personal responsibility if we want to maintain that. Maintaining our walk with the Lord. Maintaining our salvation. We do that by allowing the fire to come down and work on us. We do that by keeping the salt in our lives that we can be effective as we live among our fellow men. Lord, help us today. We have a personal responsibility. In it, and he said here that they may see your good works. Folks, it's not that we want to be seen of men. That's not it at all. We want men to see Christ. I've seen people get up behind the sacred desk and carry on in such a way, didn't look like Christ to me. But right here, what we're doing here this morning, we want people to see Jesus, not us. Because the whole idea and the whole purpose for you and I to become sacrifices to God, that we may glorify Him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Lifting yourself up ain't going to do it, folks. It's not going to do it. We got to lift Him up. We got to glorify Him. That by your conduct, by your life, by your example, that you are to your fellow men, that they may be brought to a place where they're willing to honor Him by giving their life to Him, by living for Him, by glorifying Him. Folks, that lifts up Him. That lifts up God, Christ. Neither, he said, do men light a candle. I missed that verse. Put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the world, in the house. Lord, help us today keep that candlestick burning, because the world's dark. It's a dark world. It's a cruel world. The enemy is abusing people and sitting back and laughing at them. Yes, he is. Sitting back and laughing at them for what he's got them into. The mess that they've made of their lives. Scripture says, man that is born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. The world is full of trouble today. How long did it take from Adam and Eve down to Jesus' day for the world to get into so much trouble? When we see the kings, the heathen kings, and all the idol worship and all the things that those people did back in those days, and now we still see it carried on today, the idols that people are worshiping and putting before them and their God and making gods of those things. Folks, we are the light of the world. We are the soul of the earth. We have a personal responsibility. May the Lord help us to take that responsibility. I'll leave you with this question. Are you up to the challenge? Are you up to the challenge? In an everyday walk with your Lord, are you up to the challenge of being the salt and being the light of this old world that we live in today? Because it's getting worse and worse. The Bible tells us that it would wax worse and worse, and it surely is. We find that to be so, don't we? That it's waxing worse and worse. May the Lord help us today. We have a personal response. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. Well, I'm saved, and I thank the Lord for this, and I thank the Lord. But we have a responsibility that when we go out those doors, that our life backs up what we said in here. That our life backs it up, what we do in here. Because what we do in here is sacred. It's sacred before the Lord. It must be sacred, because he said where two or three was, he'd come and be in the midst, didn't he? That makes it pretty sacred. When Jesus has come and been in the and is in the midst of you and I. What we do here is sacred. What we do out of here in our conduct as being the salt of this earth, folks, it's sacred. We're trying to win souls. We're trying to help people to see there's a better way. There's a better way to live. You don't have to carry around all that weight and all that load. When I went to that altar over 30 years ago, when I went there and took my bag of trash, my alcohol and everything else that I had, and I left it there, I don't have to live that way anymore. He delivered me. There's deliverance in Zion. Thank the Lord. It says in Obadiah 17, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. We can possess salvation today. God has made this thing personal for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to continue to seek him until we get the grace that we need to measure up. Don't be coming up against no wall, brick wall, and saying, well, this is as far as I can go. I can't go. Don't be doing that. That's the devil telling you that, well, this is the best I can do. No, God's got more. He's got more for every one of us. And as I said earlier, folks, we know less about him than we know more about him, because he's God. He's sovereign, and he's Lord of lords, and he's King of kings. Lord, help us all to be faithful and realize our personal duty and responsibility to our fellow man in the world we live in today. Amen.